Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it's about that time. It is your favorite hour of the day. You are now listening to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, coming to you all on this Friday, September 27th, 2019. Happy Friday to you all. I hope you guys have had a great week. And if you haven't, well, it's Friday. So the weekend is almost here. All right? So glad to be joining you all. We've got a great hour of sports talk radio coming your way. As we will have, as we usually do each and every Friday edition of Current Sports during the football season, we will have a football preview show in store for all of you out there. Michigan State will be taking on Indiana at the friendly confines of Spartan Stadium, the homecoming game against the Indiana Hoosiers for Michigan State. Now, I'm really crossing my fingers that things clear up here in mid-Michigan because the weather isn't great. Right now, it's not bad. You know, it's a bit cloudy, overcast. Temperatures in the 70s right now. It's going to get cooler as the day moves along. But what I'm really a bit bummed about right now is it looks as though, you know, we are in limbo concerning the Michigan State homecoming parade. Because rain is expected throughout the evening. All right. Now, it has not been called off yet. And I'm seeing an update as of 11:30 this morning. East Lansing and Michigan State Police are assessing the weather conditions. They are doing that on an hourly basis. And they will determine if it is necessary to cancel the parade once they can better evaluate the weather pattern with time. All right. So we are expected to know more around 3 p.m. And if the parade, hopefully this doesn't happen, but if it needs to be canceled, you all will know it. Our parade participants and volunteers will be notified by email. A notification is going to be sent out to emergency alert systems and TV and radio stations. So keep it locked to WKAR throughout the day for an update on whether or not Michigan State will have the MSU homecoming parade. Wouldn't that be a bummer if you did not have a homecoming parade on homecoming weekend? Please, weather, hold up. All right, please. Let's get this parade in. That's how you kick off homecoming, all right? So
Mother Nature is literally raining on their parade.
That's where I was going.
Literally.
Look at my notes. I had that in my notes. You're raining on the parade, literally.
Oh, so, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's a fitting pun. Alec Rio behind the glass. Alec, if you're watching him, courtesy of the Facebook live stream, you know, looking pretty fly, man. I'm digging the red and white striped jersey. However, you know what just hit me? You look like an Indiana Hoosier. Because that's literally what they wear.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
The red stripes, the red and white stripes, that's what they rock.
I just realized that.
It just hit me. It just hit me, too. So you're wearing the wrong thing.
I know.
On this MSU
enemy colors.
Exactly. You look like an Indiana Hoosiers fan right now, but it's a fly shirt, all right? Okay, folks, on today's show, speaking of the Indiana Hoosiers and Michigan State football, we'll be previewing that game in a matter of minutes. All right, and I tell you what, just a bit of a preview to my preview. It's kind of hard to read this Indiana team. I'll tell you why. All right. Also, we'll be previewing just briefly Michigan and Rutgers. Now, this is a game that Michigan should win easily, right?
However, when you take into account how this team has looked this season, anything is possible, even against Rutgers, I believe. Offense looked horrible against Wisconsin. Heck, they've looked horrible the entire college football year. Okay, so we'll talk Wolverines and Scarlet Knights later on this hour. You know, I'll briefly touch on the Detroit Lions again. As you know, we pretty much gave you a preview on yesterday's current sports when it comes to the Lions and the Kansas City Chiefs. So I won't spend a lot of time. I probably reserve my take on that for Reflection Friday. So you don't want to miss that. And also, I'm excited that our in-studio guest for today's current sports is going to be a man who is representing the Battle for the Mitten rugby tournament happening at Cooley Law School Stadium today. Now, I'm curious to know what the protocol is going to be concerning the weather if the Battle for the Mitten is canceled. That would be a huge, huge bummer. But I believe things will kick off around 5 p.m. You'll see Ohio State and Indiana go at it. And then Michigan State and Michigan will take the field for the premier match at 7 p.m. So, but they're rugby players, right? They're tough. I think you play in all weather conditions. So I believe that will still go on at Cooley Law School Stadium. But we have a representative who will be participating in those games later on this evening. Josh Recio of the Battle for the Mitten. He is scheduled to join me live in studio. All right. So a lot to get to. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. That is the number to call if you would like to be a part of the hour. You can watch the live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News. Comment below there. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Here are your quick hit headliners. Folks, let's start here. Michigan State and Indiana. The MSU football team is looking forward to another Big Ten matchup, especially now that MSU football is back in the AP Top 25 as the 25th team in the nation. Just getting in the Top 25. They will host the Indiana Hoosiers tomorrow. That will be a 3:30 p.m. kickoff time. And as I stated, you know, this team is a bit tough to evaluate. They just are. It's a bit weird because when you look at how Indiana has played, you know, they're 3-1, lopsided victories in non-conference matchups, including beating Eastern Illinois 52-0 and UConn 38-3. Now, the one loss came at the hands of Ohio State. Now, that's Ohio State, though, right? That was 51-10. It's Ohio State. Ohio State is really, they may prove to be the outlier of the Big Ten right now because they are so darn good, proving to be so darn good. Indiana, all over the place, really, in terms of what to expect from them. The starting quarterback for tomorrow's game is also up in the air. Junior Peyton Ramsey, or redshirt freshman Michael Penix Jr. Penix started the season's first two games, wins over Ball State and Eastern Illinois, before being sidelined by an undisclosed injury for that 51-10 loss against Ohio State and that 38-3 win last week over Connecticut. Now, those two games illustrate the advantages and disadvantages Ramsey over Penix. Ramsey, the more seasoned, the more experienced quarterback, he was efficient against UConn, completing 23 of 27 passes and throwing for 3 touchdowns. So we just don't know whether or not we will see Michael Penix Jr. or Peyton Ramsey. That will be a game-time decision for sure. All right. After that crushing loss at the hands of Jonathan Taylor and the Wisconsin Badgers, the 2-1 Michigan Wolverines looking to take out their aggression from last week onto Rutgers University. Tomorrow at noon at the Big House, Shea Patterson, he needs to bounce back after going 14 of 32 with 219 yards, a TD, and an interception. That running game needs to step it up a notch or 7 with their top rusher in Dylan McCaffrey, who is out for this week's game with a concussion, though, only logging 21 yards on 3 carries. Now, the Scarlet Knights are poised to take on a battered U of M squad with the opportunity to beat a ranked opponent for the first time in over a decade. Still blows my mind that Michigan is even ranked right now. But Rutgers running back Isaiah Panseo is a player to watch in this game. He ran for a career-high 156 yards and 4 touchdowns in the season-opening win over Massachusetts. And he was held to a total of 89 yards rushing without a score in losses to the Iowa Hawkeyes and against Boston College. He had an 80-yard touchdown run against Michigan last year and finished with 142 yards rushing. So, again, Michigan and Rutgers, that kickoff time at noon, we will see if the Wolverines can somewhat get out of the doghouse. I really don't know how much you gain, though, if you do indeed beat Rutgers. You expect it to beat Rutgers. All right. The Michigan State women's soccer team returns home to the friendly confines of DeMarcus Stadium this weekend for the second week of Big Ten play. Michigan State will host Indiana in the Big Ten home opener tonight, 7 p.m., under the lights. The team will then take on Purdue on Sunday at 1 p.m. to close out the home weekend. The Spartans head into the second week of conference play with a 7-3-0 overall record, looking for the first conference win of the season, and on to the men's soccer program as Damon Rensing's team returns to the road after a brief 2-game homestand, taking on number 22 Rutgers tonight at 7 p.m. at Yorsak Field. The Spartans are 0-5-2, very surprising start to the year, and have lost 5 straight. The Scarlet Knights are off to a fast start with a 6-0-2 record. This is the Big Ten opener for Michigan State, and Michigan State has faced several injuries which have contributed to that tough start, that rough start to the season, with all Big Ten performers Giuseppe Baroni and Patrick Nielsen still out of the lineup. MSU's 5 losses have all been close calls. All 5 defeats have been by 1 goal. The Spartans have lost 3 games, 1-0, including 2 to ranked teams in number 13 Washington and number 20 Notre Dame. So there you have that. So both the MSU men's and women's soccer programs in action tonight and throughout the weekend. All right. Michigan State women's volleyball opens up its home portion of the Big Ten schedule when it will host Maryland, on Saturday. Both squads coming off Wednesday losses. Michigan State dropped a 3-0 decision at number 5 Penn State, and the Terps fell to Ohio State at home, 3-1 the final there. MSU suffered its toughest hitting night of the season, finishing with a season-low 126, and Penn State outblocked MSU by a 9-6 margin. MSU and PSU battled through 20 tie scores and 6 lead changes in the match, so that final score not really indicative of just how close throughout the majority of that matchup that game really was. The Spartans were held to less than 20 points in a set this season for the first time in the third set against the Nittany Lions. So MSU women's volleyball taking on Maryland tomorrow night. All right. To the Detroit Red Wings, we go behind the glass to Alec Rio, who has an update on what happened last night between the Wings and the St. Louis Blues in NHL preseason action. Alec.
Yeah, so the Red Wings have leapfrogged out of the 500 hole by getting the dub over the St. Louis Blues 4-2 at the ever-so-historic Calumet Coliseum to improve to 3-2 on the season. Now, 3 of their 4 goals came in the second period, with Anthony Mantha and Michael Rasmussen tallying 2 goals each in the win. Mantha also recorded 8 shots on goal, which is quadruple the amount of any other player on the Wings that game. System goalie Calvin Pickard was stellar, getting 37 saves on 38 shots recorded by last season's Stanley Cup champions in the St. Louis Blues. Their next game is tonight at 7:30 with an Original Six matchup as the Toronto Maple Leafs travel to LCA to take on the Winged Wheel on Fox Sports Detroit Plus.
All right, great stuff there. All right, to the Detroit Lions. The Lions are undefeated so far in regular season play. They will host Patrick Mahomes and the offensively unprecedented Kansas City Chiefs Sunday at 1 p.m. As I mentioned on yesterday's show, they have 24 straight games with 25-plus points and a QB with 347 yards. That 347-yard performance, I should say, is technically his worst performance of this season so far. He has yet to throw an interception. Patrick Mahomes is playing lights out. With Darius Slay on limited use in practices, the Lions defense will have headaches against the Chiefs offense led by Andy Reid. Mike Daniels and Danny Amendola have both missed practices and are listed as doubtful to play on Sunday. This is what head coach Matt Patricia had to say. Quote, all of our guys are really day by day. We're kind of just trying to get better as we go here. From that standpoint, Mike, I do know, will be out there today. So I just wanted to make sure I announced that one. And everybody else is there pushing through meetings. And we're still trying to see how everybody feels. So Mike Daniels at least got out there this week. But again, we don't know when it comes to Darius Slay, Danny Amendola missing back-to-back practices. The Lions right now are beaten up. And that does not bode well when trying to compete against the number one team in the National Football League on Sunday. All right, and last night in Thursday Night Football, the battle between the Cheesesteaks and the Cheeseheads was a good one. The Philadelphia Eagles were able to go into Lambeau Field last night and upset the Packers 34-27 as Green Bay loses there, and Philadelphia moves to 2-2 on the season. Green Bay, meanwhile, suffered its first loss of the season, moving to 3-1 on the year. This game was close right up until the final moments as Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay offense knocking on the door of the goal line in hopes of forcing overtime with 28 seconds to play. But a couple of plays after a play that took Eagles corner Avante Maddox out of the game on a stretcher. There was a big delay for that. And a quick update when it comes to that, Maddox is doing better, and he does have use and activity of his limbs, which is a great, great sign. But that was a really tough play to watch. That's the dark side of football, folks. So I'm glad that Avante Maddox is recovering from that.
Yeah, but same thing with Jamal Williams' injury. That was a very bad one as well.
Exactly. Just that's football. That's the dark side of football, folks. So after that moment, Rodgers had a pass to Marquez Valdez-Scantling. That was tipped and picked off in the end zone. After that, Carson Wentz took a knee, and that was all she wrote. This win from the Eagles, a bounce back from that loss last week to your Detroit Lions, and held their own against the next NFC North matchup with further benefits, which further benefits the Honolulu Blue when it comes to the battle out there in the NFC North, all right? So, the Detroit Tigers, and you would think how bad this season was, they would try to end the season at home with a bang. Well, it ended with a thud, to say the least, right? They lost 10-4 to the Minnesota Twins. Victor Reyes scored two ribbies in losing fashion. The Tigers are now 46-112 on the year and have won once in the past eight games. They will face the Chi Sox in a doubleheader today at 4:10 p.m. and 7:40 p.m. And this is an interesting headline. The NBA G League will introduce a new single-shot free throw line procedure for the upcoming 2019-2020 campaign. That's according to ESPN's Zach Lowe. Now, the amount of points the foul shot is worth will be based on the infraction preceding the free throw. If the shooter was fouled on a two-point attempt, then the foul shot will be worth 2 points. That one foul shot. If the shot is a three-pointer, then the free throw is worth 3 points. That one free throw is worth 3 points. So foul shots taken after a made basket will still be worth 1 point, and the rule change represents an attempt to cut down on game length. The G League will revert to traditional free throw scoring and rules for the final 2 minutes in overtimes. But G League head of basketball ops Brad Walker, not our very own Brad Walker, he told ESPN that he believes the rule will still shave 6 to 8 minutes off the average game. I like this. They're at least experimenting with different things in the G League and seeing how successful or non-successful they are when it comes to those rule changes being implemented in the NBA. So, the new procedure could also change the strategy around late-game fouling, with a single make or miss at the line becoming much more significant in tight contests. All right, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's keep it pushing. Folks, it's Friday. This starts MSU homecoming weekend. Homecoming is awesome. I absolutely love it because, you know, I get to see, you know, as I mentioned earlier this week, I get to see faces that I haven't seen in a long, long time. I love, you know, powwowing and catching up with my fraternity brothers who, you know, went to Michigan State like myself and graduated and have gone on to become engineers and, you know, teachers and, you know, whatever field they've chosen to partake in and also become husbands and fathers. It's a great, great time seeing them and, you know, college roommates and other college buddies of mine. It's just a fun time. Homecoming is absolutely awesome. And the campus is always a buzz during MSU homecoming. Now, it's a bit of a bummer right now because it's up in the air whether or not the Michigan State homecoming parade will take place due to the pesky, pesky weather. It may literally rain on the MSU parade, so much so that if they do see lightning, it could be canceled. So we'll know more around 3 p.m. Keep it locked to WKAR 90.5 AM 870 105.1 FM as we will pass along that information to you all when we do receive it. We'll also, of course, be posting it on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News, and we'll update you on the decision whether or not to continue the MSU parade or whether it will be canceled. So hopefully it will not be canceled, but it's an awesome, awesome time. And tomorrow, Michigan State will be taking on Indiana. This is the homecoming matchup for the Spartans. Michigan State, a team coming off a very impressive outing against the Northwestern Wildcats. Still riding high off that dub, to be honest. I mean, 31-10 after, you know, Michigan State, we witnessed Michigan State lose at home to Arizona State in the fashion that they did. It's really tough now because, you know, you look at Michigan State now back in the top 25, taking on an Indiana team that, you know, has only lost one game, and that one game was against Ohio State. And Ohio State, that, I mean, that's like, okay, we get it. It's Ohio State. Ohio State right now is a machine in the Big Ten Conference. So it's really hard to gauge Indiana and Michigan State, to be quite honest, because we thought that the offense for Michigan State was solved after the Western Michigan game, right? 51 points. Held Western to 17. By the way, the Michigan State defense has been for real. They have been everything that we thought they were going to be before the season began. Held Tulsa to 7 points. Held Western to 17. Even in the loss against Arizona State only won the game 10-7. And then you hold Northwestern to 10 points last week. I mean, that Michigan State defense has been for real. The most points they've given up actually came against Western when they put up 17. But it's that offense that it's just really hard to read right now. They looked great last week. But will we see another performance coming off a great offensive explosion like they did against Western and then laying an egg against Arizona State? Will we see some consistency? I think that's what Michigan State fans want right now. And I don't have the answer to that right now. We'll just have to wait until tomorrow. We want to see Michigan State put up back-to-back weeks of an offensive explosion. Can you give us back-to-back weeks of an offense that is humming? And when it comes to Indiana, you know, like I said, I mean, they're really hard to gauge. They just are. I do believe that MSU's backfield will face a test against Indiana because Indiana has a group of receivers that are pretty impressive. I can bring up Junior Wop Fillior, and I love that name. I love that name. Wop Fillior. Wop. That's like one of those when you're reading a comic and you see, you know, two guys fighting in the comic book like Batman versus Superman or something like that. And, you know, they have like the sound effects going on that you read. Wop would be one of those. Junior Wop Fillior. Hopefully he doesn't wop that Michigan State defense tomorrow. But he's impressive. Watching him on tape throughout the first few weeks of the college football season. Also, tight end, Peyton Hendershot. Hendershot is also a really cool last name. Hendershot. Great names. MSU's defense has been, again, outstanding. Like I mentioned, outstanding so far this year. Defending the pass, locking down the run. They look to be, so far, even improved from last year. Allowing just 5.4 yards per pass. That's tied for actually second in the Big Ten. And have a Big Ten best 6 interceptions. But Hendershot and Fillior, they've been able to get loose against a few opponents this year and have been very, very impressive. Fillior had 11 catches for 148 yards last season against Michigan State. So that name should sound very familiar. He's got 17 catches for 229 yards this year. He's a threat. Hendershot, 18 catches for 234 yards this year. And he really is the first quality tight end that Michigan State has faced since Western Michigan's Giovanni Ritchie, who gave Michigan State's defense a bit of a fit 3 weeks ago. So, and right now, Indiana features 5 receivers with at least 8 catches and more than 130 yards. And the deep threat for Indiana that you got to look out for will be Nick Westbrook. And now, if I had to guess who's going to be matched up against Nick Westbrook, it's got to be Josiah Scott. He is your guy. He is the lockdown guy. No offense against Josh Butler, but Josh has been picked on a bit so far this year. So watch Nick Westbrook. He can't get out in the open field. And I must say this, too. It matters who's going to be behind center for Indiana. You're probably listening and saying, well, duh, Al, it's the quarterback position. It's the most important position on the football gridiron. Yeah, I hear that. But diving into the more specifics here and reading what some of the Indiana football beat reporters have had to say about this whole quarterback situation, which I highlighted in our headliners, it's either going to be junior Peyton Ramsey or redshirt freshman Michael Penix Jr. Penix did start the season's first 2 games in those wins against Ball State and Eastern Illinois, but he was sidelined by an injury during that 51-10 loss against Ohio State. And that 38-3 win last week over Connecticut. So, when diving into the differences between these two quarterbacks, what I am hearing, what I've been reading about both Peyton Ramsey and Michael Penix Jr., and we all know that Peyton Ramsey is the more experienced quarterback, but Michael Penix Jr. has the stronger arm. He is more of an athlete than Peyton Ramsey is. Michael Penix Jr., heck, and if you look at what a few NFL scouts have had to say concerning Penix Jr., they believe he has an NFL-type arm. The dude can chuck it downfield. That arm is very strong. He's pretty accurate. And he's, at times, athletic. He shows that athleticism, getting outside of the pocket and making some things happen with his feet. So that could prove to be dangerous if Michael Penix Jr. is the guy behind center for Michigan State. For Indiana. Going to be interesting, though, because, again, it's so hard to read both Michigan State and Indiana. I could see both of these squads going at it in a close one. I don't foresee a blowout either way here. Right now, the line reads 14 in favor of Michigan State, but I think that's a bit deceiving. I don't know. Especially when you look at this year, every time Michigan State has been favored to win by double digits, that really hasn't happened. Michigan State usually doesn't blow people out. Looking at last week, that was a surprise. The Western Michigan explosion, that was a surprise. I don't know. So if you're a Michigan State fan, you got to be hoping for another surprise against Indiana. But this Indiana team isn't going to be one that's going to be laying down. And you really, that offense can do some dangerous things. So, Matt Coughlin is another guy I'm going to be looking at in this game. I'm sure many of you will be as well. Matt Coughlin has struggled. That struggle began against Arizona State. He actually entered that contest. And this is the thing. This is so different. Matt Coughlin is usually money. Entering that game against Arizona State, he was 40 of 48 throughout his career. And, Matt Coughlin is a guy who he's got to perform. You got one job. Your job is to kick the football through the uprights. And him missing the way he did against Arizona State, it cost Michigan State that game. And, he's got to return to that all-conference kicker that we once saw. All right? So I got a question, though, Alec. If the game is close, and let's just say it's in crunch time and Michigan State has an opportunity to win the game with, 30 seconds left and they're on Indiana's, 40-yard line. All right? That's not an easy kick. That's a lengthy kick. Down by, let's say, two, something like that. You can win the game or, heck, even force it to go to overtime if you kick the football. Fourth and short, though. Fourth and, three. Are you trusting Matt Coughlin to go out there and to do his job? Because I tell you what, the only way, I'll just give you my – never mind. I'm not going to influence what you think about this right now. Are you trusting Matt to go out there, or are you trusting Brian Lewerke in that offense to get that first down?
Well, considering how far away that situation is. Well,
I'll say this. Okay, let's put it on the 30.
30? Okay, if it were more on the 30, then I would definitely go with Coughlin. But,
anything
going back
on the
to
40 or
40,
or
I mean, didn't he miss a sub 30 yarder? What was it? Yeah, that cost them the game. So I don't know. I would just trust Brian Lewerke. He's on those kind of plays. Those QB sneaks always seem to work. Mm-hmm. Brian Lewerke's pretty good at reading those kind of plays. And Coughlin, even though he had a really bad game last week, not last week, but against Arizona State. Before that, he had hit every single field goal before that, mind you. So everyone has their bad games, and I definitely look forward. Matt Coughlin's not going to be the type of person to let that get to him. I mean, he's had pretty good success these past couple years, so I don't think a game like that is going to deter him from losing confidence in himself. I really don't think that.
Well, I tell you what, if it's 40, that's we're talking like a 50-yard field.
Yeah, there's no.
I don't think so.
Yeah, right. I'm going for it on fourth and three.
It's on the 30. You're talking about around 40 yards. The only way that you instill confidence, that you're going to instill confidence in a kicker, is by putting them out there. Now, this is situational. I want to make this point. If Matt again, I'm talking about the last 30 seconds of the game. If he is, you know, if he's like 2 for 2 on the day and has shown me throughout the game that he has put it through the uprights with ease, heck yeah, I'm throwing him out there. Heck, I may even throw him out there for that 50-yarder. If he has made some field goals throughout the course of that game, it has been like, okay, he looks confident, he's in a rhythm right now. But if that is like his first kick...
Oh, no, there's no way. There's no way.
Too much pressure.
There's no way.
There's no way. Now, he again, those misses already cost that win. Well, excuse me, that loss against Arizona State. He missed 4 straight before he connected from 26 yards last week against Northwestern. So, I don't know. But I will say this. The future success of this team, especially with how shaky Michigan State has looked in the red zone when it comes to putting up 6 instead of 3, the future success of Michigan State, a lot of it rests on that foot of Matt Coughlin, and he's got to start making them. All right, so we'll see what happens, man. I think this is going to be a much closer game than many people believe. I'm going with Michigan State to win, but it's going to be a dogfight. I feel that. I'm going with my gut here. Even though Michigan State, the line is at 14 in favor of the Spartans, I'm ignoring that. When it comes to the line with Michigan State, the line goes out the window. We know nothing, Jon Snow, when it comes to Michigan State and lines in Vegas.
They're
right?
So unpredictable. It's not even funny.
So unpredictable, man. So I'm going with Michigan State to win here 24-17 against Indiana. All right?
That's fair.
That's the score I'm going with. Alec, who you got and why?
I got Michigan State winning, I'd say, 24-10. I think MSU's defense is going to come out really strong, even though they got a couple wide receivers that you said have, what, 4 receptions, over 80 yards. You know, I definitely think MSU is going to clamp down, you know, Joe Bocci and Kenny Wilkes. They're going to step up huge. You know, Raekwon Williams, he's been really effective this whole season. So I definitely feel they're going to up the intensity this game.
All right, what say you? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Call in, give us your thoughts on Michigan State and Indiana. You can also weigh in courtesy of our Facebook live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News. You can even tweet us for those that like Twitter, or the Twitter, as Tom Izzo likes to say. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the hour, tweet the show, at WKAR News. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll talk about the battle for the mitten at Cooley Law School Stadium, hopefully still taking place. I know the weather's a bit shaky right now, but later on today, the battle for the mitten at Cooley Law School Stadium. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. We'll be right back.
Very special moment, you know, because you know, they're at the tail end of everything. We've got guys who are at the front end of it, but it brings everybody together. I think it really does. It brings everybody together who's a part of this program. Hopefully everybody has a little bit of a moment to sort of take in with that. I've said all along, we've got great chemistry on our football team, and got good guys, and they were excited. They were excited for me. I appreciate that very much, but they're also excited for them. It was a big win. Puts us at 1-0 in the Big Ten Conference. It was a win coming off a tough moment, which I think we've all tried to sit there and say, okay, who are we in our toughest moments? I think that they defined themselves a little bit, took a step towards defining themselves. They have got a lot more games to play, but I think we took a step forward. So it was exciting. But I was more, honestly, I was more, the 1-10 thing, that was going to come inevitably. I was more excited about going 1-0.
Ah, Coach Mark D'Antonio. Gotta love the coach speak, right? Yeah, 110 was going to come, but I was just more excited about going 1-0. Coach D fashion, I love it, as Coach D'Antonio commented on the win over Northwestern during his Tuesday morning press conference at Spartan Stadium, and commented briefly on getting win number 110, which makes him the all-time winningest coach in Michigan State football history. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing, I must say. All right. I want to shift gears now, as it is Michigan State homecoming weekend, and I know you guys are excited about the homecoming parade and the homecoming game against Indiana, but there's another event that is taking place tonight that I think is very different, very cool, all right? And right now, for those watching our live stream, you see his face. He's sitting right across from my right, your left, for those watching the live stream. His name is Josh Recio of the Battle for the Mitten Rugby Challenge that is taking place later on this evening. I believe it starts around 5 p.m. at Cooley Law School Stadium. Recio is a Michigan State senior, so he's a Spartan through and through. He bleeds green, baby. Josh, welcome to Current Sports. How you doing?
Fantastic. It's a little bit on nerves. You know, we're kind of day of the event. Got to make sure everything's going well. Got to make sure the weather's doing well. But, right. Man, it's a great day. This, you know, year two, this is my favorite time of the year.
And I want to start there. I mean, this is year two of this event. Can you take me back, take our listeners back to the history of this Battle for the Mitten Challenge? How did it come about? Mm-hmm. You know, who are the founding members of it? And how did year one go?
Oh, man, year one was fantastic. So last year we did it. It was the day before Michigan and Michigan State played here. And it all started really with Michigan State rugby and Michigan rugby. We came together. We knew, hey, you know, we got well-attended games. We do well. We got the best brands in the country for a university, right?
Right.
We've got a market for a rugby event, a large-scale venue. We could do this. So we made a pitch to Greater Lansing Sports Authority, which fantastic group to have in our backyard, right?
Yeah.
They loved it. They loved this idea. They brought us over to Cooley. Cooley loved it. And we just kept talking to the right people. And next thing you know, we're stepping there October 19th of last year. You had just over 2,000 people watching. And we had another 1,500 people watching on a live stream.
Wow.
You know, we turned some heads. We definitely turned some heads for an event that was all organized by students. We're not marketing majors. We're not, you know, we haven't done this kind of stuff before. And, you know, it kind of fed into this year. And this year now you got the whole rugby world watching us. We're nationally televised. You know,
this is nationally televised?
So you ever heard of the Rugby World Cup?
I have not. I'm rugby stupid. Yeah. I am so, and most of my listeners are. Because this is the thing that surprises me. I mean, that amount of viewership and that kind of attendance, 2,000 last year for a rugby event.
For a club sport.
For a club sport. That's amazing, Josh.
Yeah, I mean, it's fantastic. Talk about how awesome those Spartan fans are. You know what I mean? You buy them into this idea that, hey, you know, we know the football game's going on, but we have this cool other event, something different that is still bleeding green. And, you know, we're buying into this rivalry, and they still showed up. They still cheered. You know, we had Sparty there. Everything, the energy there was fantastic.
Right.
And, you know, I speak about the World Cup, and now this year, you can watch our game tonight over in 55 million homes.
That's because it's online being streamed. That's awesome.
National television. So it's going to be great. So we've turned heads and we've really proved that there's a market for this. And Lansing is really proven to be a good market for rugby. So I think you're going to start hearing a lot more about rugby in the central Michigan area.
So, Josh, talking about rugby here in this area, and again, you got the proof is in the pudding. And last year, I mean, you mentioned those numbers and people watching online and 2,000 showing up and watching last year's event. When did it hit you that there is a potential market for rugby here in the Lansing area?
You know, I was kind of selling it before last year's event, but walking out there, you know, you walked out there and you saw everyone there last year and you just kind of knew, man, for what we didn't know that time.
So you didn't know that there was a market for rugby before the event?
I mean, you're on edge. You know, you're kind of selling it a little. You're like, yeah, totally. We'll fill it. We'll be great. You trust us. Just trust us.
Right.
And we proved it. And then we walked out there, though, and you saw the energy, and you're like, oh, wow. If we actually know a little bit more what we're doing, we get the right people involved, we can knock this out of the park. And,
yeah.
other than weather, which I can't control, this year it's been like that so far. So I'm expecting a nice big energy tonight as well. So
that's amazing. And before we dive into more specifics about tonight's event and how people can come out and enjoy some rugby, and hopefully, I'm hoping this rain is bad, man. Please, weather, hold up, okay? Weather gods, please hold up. I want to start though with your fandom for the sport of rugby. When did that begin? How did you fall in love with the sport? Because again, it's a niche sport. You don't. It's not every day, and I'm in the sports industry. It's not every day when I talk to somebody like Al. I love rugby. You know, that's rarely. It's a sport that's rarely brought up. So how did you get introduced to the sport and fall in love with it?
Yeah, you know. So I'm a California kid.
Nice.
And
what part?
North Bay, Sonoma County, Napa Valley, Santa Rosa, hometown, great place.
Right.
Rugby out in California, a little bit bigger than it is in Michigan. But when we played football in high school, you had to pick another sport. And we always had the rugby coaches. They were the assistant coaches on football. Mm-hmm. And they would always be looking out for people, and they'd be tapping them on the shoulder and be like, hey, your other sport's going to be rugby.
Right.
And they got me and a couple of my friends, and we went out there and we quit football after about 2 years. We're like, man, rugby's awesome. For one, I was bigger. I was a lineman, you know, for high school. And I was just like, I get to run with the ball? Like, what are you talking about? I was so done with football. I was playing rugby. And then it's the culture. Something about it when you get out there, the culture of rugby, the sportsmanship that's still there, the people you meet, and just the bond that it creates about, you know, you can have people that are traveling all over the country. And everywhere they go, rugby is a connection. You know, I can find a place to stay. I can find a person to host me for dinner. I can find a great bar.
The bond is that tight.
The bond is that tight. I've gone over to England and found people and made connections over in rugby. Ireland, you know, on the East Coast. Everywhere I go, rugby is my connection.
What? How popular is it? Because, you know, we always talk here on Current Sports about how now – football, soccer, is becoming more and more popular in the States, but internationally, it is the most popular sport in the world.
Yeah.
Where does rugby fit on that scale when it comes to international popularity?
Well, again, very much international. You know, huge in England, huge in Australia, huge in New Zealand. You ever heard the New Zealand All Blacks, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's, for one, take a look at it. Michigan State Rugby is the oldest club on campus.
I did not know that.
You had people playing rugby on this campus before football was officially organized as a Division I sport.
Whoa. You learn something new every day.
Yeah.
And I did not. I'm pretty sure a lot of my listeners didn't know that either.
And you learn about this through the people you talk to because of the people that they talk to. And granted, you know, maybe things get passed down along. But you hear about all these stories, all this history of rugby in Michigan. And you just know that although it's bigger international, because in the United States, we've got this saturated sports market of so many high quality sports. You got basketball, you got football, right? It's hard for sports like rugby to shine. And you know, in a market where it's really relying on commercial breaks, you know, that continuous play of rugby is tough.
Yeah.
So there's your area where it's not really growing as well in the U.S., but it's still exciting and it's still got that really loyal fan base behind it. It's got that kind of formula that soccer had maybe like 10 years ago when everyone's looking at MLS like, yeah, it's soccer. It's all big in Europe, but here,
yeah,
man, rugby's got that same formula, man. It's that same fan base, that same like drive behind it. And it's just such a fun sport to watch.
What's your favorite part about the sport? Because it's so physical. I look at it and I'm like, these dudes don't have helmets on. They don't have any pads. There's no... Do you guys even have shin guards?
Nah, there's nothing.
There's nothing. You're out, and you guys are hitting each other.
Yeah, but, you know,
right?
Pete Carroll is a perfect example of, you know, a football guy that really appreciates rugby. You hit differently. You run differently when you don't have pads on.
That's true. You're more conscious of your health when you don't have any protection around.
Yeah.
That's the argument when it comes to the NFL and football, right? I mean, because you have so much protection now, and the helmets are so advanced that – all right, I'm going to go out here and just be reckless because I do have protection on. But if you're naked, ideally, you're going to be more conscious of that.
Yeah. So that's great. And you know, you talk about my favorite element of the game. It's after the game. You bring people to rugby and, you know, you might have the hardest game of your life. You might get in a brawl during the game. Someone might get ejected or whatever.
Yeah.
After the game, it's still like you guys are best friends. Whoever hosting you is going to feed that away team. You're still going to shake hands. You're still going to talk to each other. You're gonna share your memories of rugby together. The sportsmanship in the sport is unlike any other sport I've ever played.
You know what? The only thing when you're sitting there talking about it, Josh, and again, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are chatting with Josh Recio of the Battle for the Mitten.
as you're sitting there making that point, the only other sport I can probably compare it to is maybe that of an MMA fighter and maybe of a boxer, because they go out there. They it's amazing to me watching those guys, how they can go in a ring, go in a cage, and knock each other's block off. And then afterwards, there's this crazy respect for each other, because it takes a certain kind of individual to go in a ring and to go in a cage and do that. And it's like a brotherhood, really. Yep. And that's the only other thing I can compare it to.
Oh, that's perfect. I think it's exactly like that. It's insane. It blew my mind the first time I saw it. You know, I think the first game I played, it was this hard-fought game. And I was like, man, I'm so mad. Yeah. We had lost by, like, just a little. And yet all my friends are like, oh, it's whatever. Let's go eat, man. And it's like, what are you guys talking about? I'm used to football where we're storming off. We're on the locker rooms not talking to each other for the next 30 minutes.
Right.
Here they are just shaking hands with the guys as if they're the best friends, as if they were on their team.
Right.
So
amazing.
It's a new culture that I wasn't used to, but I bought into it, and now I can't go back.
That's awesome.
Sure.
All right, Josh, give us the specifics of tonight. How can people go out and just got word from Alec Rio, the homecoming parade is canceled. So it's done. So maybe that drives more traffic to this event at Cooley Law School Stadium for you guys, Josh.
Well, peeps, there's this thing called the one line, right? So that homecoming parade, you know, that route that you're going on, you just take that one bus, come on down to Cooley Law School Stadium.
There you go.
We're going to have a game, that's for sure. We're going to have a fun place to – it's a great stadium to watch a game.
Right.
You know, we got two games, so it's a doubleheader, actually. You got Ohio State and Indiana, two of the best rugby programs in the nation. I mean, you know, we were laughing about it. Indiana, maybe in some other sports, but in rugby, they're a powerhouse, so they're fun to watch.
Okay.
And then you got Michigan and Michigan State right after. 5 p.m. kickoff for the first game, 7 p.m. kickoff for the second game. If you can't watch it live, 11 Sports Network.
11 Sports Network. How can they find that online?
11 Sports Network is on basically all TV providers. I know DirecTV, it's channel like 626, AT&T UVerse. There's a Twitch. You can watch it for free on Twitch.
Wow. I'm a big Twitch guy because I'm a gamer now.
Isn't Twitch awesome?
Twitch is awesome.
They're putting TV on Twitch now.
I know. It's crazy.
It's insane.
It's great. Like cable? What is cable nowadays, right? It's like everything's online. You're streaming now.
So you can watch the game. And even if the rain happens, you can stay dry and watch the game. But I'm telling you, if you haven't seen rugby, if you're excited about rugby, give it a peek because it's going to be a fun event.
If that hasn't sold you, folks, I don't know what will. Josh Racio of the Battle for the Mitten. Josh, it's been a pleasure, man. Thank you so much. We're going to have you back.
Oh, yeah. Anytime. Awesome. Anytime.
That was fun. All right, folks. And again, I want to pass this along to you. Again, I mentioned how the parade is canceled. I'm getting the official statement that I'll read live here on the air. The 2019 MSU Homecoming Parade has been canceled due to inclement weather. Parade participants and volunteers will be notified by email. A notification will be also sent by local emergency alert systems and TV and radio stations. So that's a bummer. But if you're trying to get out the house and still enjoy a fantastic event, please check out the Battle for the Mitten again tonight, starting at 5 p.m. inside of Cooley Law School Stadium. Is it free admission or is it how much is it, Josh?
It's $10.
$10. We all got $10. Come on now. All right. $10. To enjoy tonight's event. It should be a great one, all right? All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we'll put a bow on today's current sports. I'll talk some Michigan and Rutgers, and we'll have Reflection Friday for you all. Don't go anywhere. All right, again, ladies and gents, boys and girls, the 2019 MSU Homecoming Parade has been canceled due to inclement weather. Parade participants and volunteers notified by email. A notification will also be sent out by local emergency alert systems and TV and radio stations. Alec, that's a bummer. Oh, my goodness.
It is such a bummer. And it's even more of a bummer that I kind of ruined that pun earlier today.
Yeah. No, it was spot on. It literally has rained on the MSU Homecoming Parade. So, yeah, I wonder, when is the last time the MSU Homecoming Parade has been canceled?
Like, has that ever happened? Is this the first time ever? I don't know. It had to happen.
I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, can we research that? Like, I can't remember a time, even when I was a student. I came to Michigan State as a student from the west side of Detroit in 2008. So I went to Michigan State from 08 to 2012, graduated. I've been working in the Lansing area as a sports reporter and host ever since. And I can't remember a year. I can't recall a year in which the parade was canceled.
Yeah, I'm looking up on Google, and it's not looking like they're keeping track of when was the last time homecoming parade was canceled. But, I assume it's a long time from the last time.
Right. And there also is no MSU Madness tonight. They're holding it on a different weekend. I mentioned that earlier this week. So that's tough, man. I'm sorry, Michigan State alum and fandom. You won't get a chance to enjoy a parade. So, all right, pushing along here as we have just 2 minutes left. And wasn't that a great interview with John Recio of the Battle for the Mitten in its second year? Again, if you're not going to the homecoming parade, why not go out to Cooley Law School Stadium later on, $10 to get in and enjoy some rugby. Rugby. You know, I had a buddy of mine by the name of Paris who was a big rugby guy, and he was a part of the MSU club rugby team, probably the only brother on the team. But, man, he was a tough dude, and he absolutely loved it. So it's going to be fun at 5 p.m. Ohio State and Indiana will go at it, and then at 7 p.m., the main attraction, Michigan State will play Michigan. But that's pretty cool stuff, right, Alec?
Yeah. And him mentioning Twitch, it's going to be on Twitch is so huge because me and so many other college students, we don't have cable. Nobody has cable because it's just an extra monthly payment. So, I mean, it's just why have that when you can just have Twitch or you can watch stuff on Reddit for free?
Exactly. It's amazing. I mean, I don't have cable. I'm going on year two without cable now, and I have a streaming service where I can just stream live TV if I want to. I mean, Hulu TV, YouTube TV, PlayStation View. There are so many other options out there, and it's really changing the game of television today.
For real, though.
Michigan will beat Rutgers. I'm not going to give a score prediction. I think that's just a given, though. Michigan will beat Rutgers. Just how they will look against the Scarlet Knights, that's the question. And for Reflection Friday, it's been pretty cool talking about the MSU men's basketball team this week. You know, the first practice was earlier this week. Tom Izzo spoke. I'm excited about Michigan State coming into the next season as what many people believe to be the number one team in the nation. So that was awesome hearing from Izzo and seeing practice for the first time. So have a great MSU homecoming weekend despite the parade announcement. We'll see you Monday and be easy, people.